Merlin Athrawes smiled slightly as Olivia Bates looked up just that little bit too quickly from her quiet conversation with Charlian. Princess Olivia had spent decades married to a reigning head of state. Along the way, she'd learned to conceal little things like surprise far better than most mere mortals ever did. Normally, at least. Narmon, on the other hand, had had ample opportunity to watch Caleb and Merlin interact during the Coruscant campaign. In fact, he'd already been informed that the Sajan saw visions, that his function as seer and advisor was even more important than his function as Caleb's personal bodyguard. Along the way, he'd also come to understand that Captain Athrawes's relationship with both Emperor Caleb and Empress Charlian was even closer than most other people would ever have surmised. That was something he'd learned to factor into his analyses of Merlin's visions. It was not, however, knowledge he had ever shared with his wife, and the fact that the Emperor and Empress had apparently decided it was time for Olivia to discover at least part of what he himself already knew had to have come as a significant surprise for him as well. If so, it wasn't evident. He simply cocked his head with a mildly speculative expression, which would probably have fooled just about anyone. Merlin had come to know the plump little prince at least as well as Narmon had come to know him, however, and he could almost literally see the thoughts flickering through that agile brain. "Of course, Your Grace," he murmured out loud and crossed to the table. Caleb's wave indicated a chair between himself and Michael Stainer, and Merlin bowed in acknowledgement. He unbuckled his weapons harness, standing his sheathed katana and wakizashi against the wall, then pulled back the indicated chair and seated himself in it. "Wine, Merlin?" Stainer inquired with a whimsical smile. "If you please, Your Eminence," Merlin replied, and watched Princess Olivia's bemused expression from the corner of one eye as the primate of the Church of Caris poured wine for a mere bodyguard. The Archbishop passed the glass across, and Merlin nodded in gratitude and took a sip. "Narmon, Olivia," Caleb said then, gathering back up the prince and princess's attention. "As I'm sure both of you have already deduced, Charlian and I invited Merlin to join us at table to make a point. And that point, as I'm sure both of you have also already realized, is that Merlin is quite a bit more than simply my bodyguard. In fact, Olivia, Narmon was already acquainted with that minor fact, although I'm aware he hasn't shared that knowledge with you."
"Indeed he hasn't, Your Grace," Olivia said, when he paused for a moment, and despite herself, there was an edge of anxiety in her voice.
"We know that," Charlian said quickly, reaching out to touch the older woman's arm reassuringly. Olivia looked at her, and the Empress smiled. "Trust me, when I say we know, Narmon has never betrayed a single one of our confidences, even to you, we truly do. You'll understand what I mean after Merlin completes his explanation."
"Explanation, Your Majesty?"
Olivia's confusion showed much more clearly this time, and Charlian nodded. Then she glanced at Merlin.
"Why don't you go ahead and begin?" she invited.
"Of course, Your Majesty."
Merlin bent his head in acknowledgement, then looked across the table at Olivia.
"Prince Narmon has already heard a part of this, Your Highness," he said, "but most of it will be equally new to him. Or perhaps I should say, he's about to discover that the information he's already been given was incomplete."
"I apologize for that, Your Highness," he said, shifting his attention to Narmon for a moment, "but it was one of those need-to-know items, as I feel confident you'll understand when I finish explaining."
"Should I assume something has changed and given me the need to know after all, Sajan Merlin? And for some reason Olivia as well?"
Narmon asked the question calmly, but he also reached out to take his wife's hand reassuringly. There was something profoundly touching about the protectiveness in that small gesture, Merlin thought, and felt his heart warming to the pudgy Emeraldian.
It's not so much something that's changed as a decision process which has worked its way through, Your Highness, Merlin told him. There were more people involved in making that decision than even you can have suspected, I think. And most of those other people lacked the unfair advantages, you might say, which you were already aware I myself possess. That tended to make them more hesitant. Well, cautious would actually be a better word, than they might have been otherwise.
But not you, Narman murmured with a smile, and Merlin shrugged.
We wouldn't be having this conversation if Caleb, Charlian, and Archbishop Michael weren't already quite confident about how it will work out, Your Highness. None of us is infallible, so it's possible we're all wrong about that. I don't think that's very likely, though.
Well, I suppose that's a relief, Narman said. On the other hand, perhaps you should go ahead and begin that explanation now.
Certainly, Your Highness. Despite the potential gravity of the moment, Merlin found it difficult not to chuckle at the mingled exasperation, impatience, and humor in Narman's tone. Then the temptation faded, and he leaned forward in his chair, folding his hands around the base of his wine glass as he looked soberly at Narman and Olivia. I realize better than either of you probably even begin to suspect just how disillusioned both of you are with the group of four, he said very levelly. I know, I don't suspect, I don't think, I don't estimate, I know that Princess Olivia is just as disgusted and heartsick and angry as Caleb or Charlian themselves over the way Clinton and Trenaire are using and abusing the Church's authority and the faith of every Safeholdian. By the same token, I know your own disgust over the group of four's blatant corruption and taste for tyranny is far deeper than you'd really like anyone else to guess, given that cynical, pragmatic, ruthless politician's image you've spent so long cultivating, Your Highness. He smiled faintly at Narman's slightly affronted expression, yet no trace of his amusement touched his somber tone as he continued. But what neither of you know is that the group of four are scarcely the first to abuse the faith of all Safeholdians for their own purposes. In fact, they're following in a tradition that was established even before the day of creation. The husband and wife, sitting across the table from him, stiffened in unison, their eyes widening in confusion, and this time his smile was far, far grimmer. You see, just over 1,000 years ago...